This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. Today we're going to review Tiger King for you. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into this review, a new one today after a couple of weeks of some classic reviews for the show that everybody is talking about. It's a Netflix streaming show, 7 episodes, directed by Eric Good and Rebecca Chaikin. It stars Joe Exotic, Carol Baskin, Bhagavan Until Doc, John Finlay, Rick Kerr, people you don't know, basically.
Yeah, right? No one you know,
except maybe Joe Exotic, because of course he did run to be president and then run as a governor of the state of Oklahoma, I think it was.
And he was in a Louis Theroux documentary as well.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. They're all episodes between 41 and 48 minutes, and it was released on March 20th, 2020, so a couple of weeks on, and the world is abuzz with talk of this documentary. Wayne, what's it about?
So Tiger King is about Joseph Maldonado Passage. He's an eccentric, like, keeper of tigers, lions, and other big cats in Oklahoma, and he goes by the name Joe Exotic. And he allegedly orchestrated the murder-for-hire plot against Carol Baskin, a woman who runs a facility called Big Cat Rescue, who had lobbied to shut down operations like his. It's essentially a look into the shady and insane world of exotic animal keeping and breeding and selling, I guess, which I had zero idea existed. Paul, what did you think?
Well, honestly, I was dubious. We had a few listeners come to us and say, are you going to review this show? It's pretty damn amazing. You really, really should. And okay, you know, true crime documentary stuff isn't really normally my cup of tea.
Can you just say something about this type of pressure that you often get from people, right? Not us, just everyone, okay?
Yeah.
I wasn't going to watch this show, I will tell you that, okay? Because I got bird boxed, all right? That's a new term which I just made up, what means that everyone talks about a show and they say to you, you got to watch this show, and everyone's talking about it and you hear spoilers about it and it makes you not want to watch it, okay? So I was like that about this. I'm like, this isn't really my jam, so I heard too much about it. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. But now that you guys said, do it, I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm glad I have the excuse.
Are you suggesting Bird Box was not a good film?
No, Bird Box was great, but I heard so much about it, I almost wasn't going to watch it. And then we watched it for the show, and it was really great.
So
I thought Bird Box is awesome. It doesn't mean the show is bad. It means that you were once put off watching it before you saw it.
Because it's so popular.
Yes,
this is
because
coming
it's
from
so
you,
popular.
Mr. Popularity. Mr. I watch, I engage and embrace anything which I believe is hugely popular. But now you're saying, actually...
No, it has to be good, too. Like, if you hear too much about something... Like, for example, if you say, here, this is a show about tiger breeding and rednecks and shit, that is not intrinsically interesting to me. So the fact that more people say it more and more and more. What?
What? If you get told about a show that's about rednecks and tiger breeding, who's interested? Me.
Who would not that?
Anyone in the world would be interested in weird breeding of animals, and you're like, no, fuck all that shit. And the characters that are clearly insane that are behind this kind of
activity.
Well,
that's the thing. You don't know that when you just hear the usual. All I hear from about Tiger King was like, you got to check this shit out. It's nuts. You can't look away.
You understand,
right?
This is the whole basis of our podcast, is we tell people what
I
to watch and what not to watch.
That, yeah, but that's us. This is the internet. I'm talking about the zeitgeist. When you hear something too often, you start to get a little weird about it. This is normal. This is very normal.
Well, this is look into Wayne's psyche is what this is devolved into.
It makes perfect sense to me, but okay. Anyway, let's get into the show. What do you say?
Time for the next level. Forced.
Oh God.
Laughing.
Once again. Oh God, this is so long. This sound should be over 10 minutes ago, you dumb fuck.
Anyway, yes, I did. Wasn't sure I would enjoy it. Burned through all 7 episodes in the,
so did I, that's the whole thing.
4 days since we were told to, or agreed to basically do this particular show this week. And I have to say, it was very entertaining. We'll talk about non-spoilery first of all, but this whole show is spoilers. It'll be a very short upfront section, which basically is going to relate or boil down to this. Watch it. If you're at all interested in this kind of thing, i.e. stuff which is so off the wall, you will not believe what you're going to see. This is a show for you. And the fact that it's based on fact, you know, sometimes it's perspectives of things, but generally speaking, they do a reasonable job at finding a balance between all the players in the show, generally. Although I think it does skew towards Joe Exotic side of things, this show.
That's where the money is.
Well, maybe that's like, it. I've read, for example, that they skimmed over a lot of dodgy shit he did. A lot of dodgy shit. And
oh, it definitely had an agenda. Yes. Like it's trying to, like, for example, like, okay, did you think it was at all draggy? Did you find yourself never bored. So you thought it was quite tight?
Never bored.
Okay.
And the reason for that is they do, it's a very clever thing. They kind of have a theme for each episode, mm-hmm. right? Where it follows certain aspects. So one episode is, you know, introducing the players, and then another is about the cults really that they have cultivated. And then another one's about
the weirdest part.
Yeah, about, you know, potentially the murder of someone and all the rest of this stuff. And so with 5 minutes to go or 3 minutes to go or 1 minute to go, they effectively throw out the hook for the next episode.
Absolutely.
And you're like, what? Yeah, I gotta watch that.
It is extremely well made.
Yeah.
In that way. Do you know what I mean?
And it's just incredible the amount of footage that they had access to, especially given some of the things that happened in the show, which again we'll say for spoilers.
I got a lot of questions about that, which I'll breeze with.
It's quite stunning, to be honest. And I don't know if I can answer those things, because a lot of time we're going, really? Why would you let this be filmed? Really? Who's saying that on camera? And that's
right.
It really is fly on the wall stuff in this bizarre world that no one, or at least most people, don't have access to.
Well, what's probably compelling about it, if you ask me, is how narcissistic everyone is. At some stage in this show, you look around and you're like, there are no role models in this whole show. Everyone is kind of a prick or a shithead or just like, they're just adult children, these people. Like, when you look at their lives, one, like you said, everyone says this, car crash TV, you can't look away. That's true, because you can't believe that people live like this or think like this or are like this. And then when you finally get used to it, you start to actually understand, you don't sympathize with, but you understand the plight of what problem they're having with the animal rights people or the alternate, like the competitive tiger zoo, whatever place. It's just kind of, it's compelling because you're seeing this tribal warfare kind of happen, and that's kind of human nature.
Yeah, it's just such a different world.
It's a world that you don't think could possibly exist.
It's stunning to me that they could get away with what they're doing, all of them, without exception. Every single exotic zookeeper seems to me to be completely and utterly engaging animal cruelty, and yet they're allowed to exist.
This is why it's so, like, every one of them hates each other for the thing that they're supposedly doing or doing to them.
There is so much
hypocrisy.
But
they're all doing the same thing. They're all doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what the fuck is this?
That was what struck me in the first episode. I'm like, hang on, you're criticizing that person, but you're doing exactly the same fucking thing. I mean, maybe your conditions are slightly better, but it's not like they're running around a fucking, you know, African savannah, these big cats. You are part of the problem. Stop pretending like you're not.
Yeah. Obviously, it's a subculture, would you say?
Yeah,
I guess so. What this is, right? Like, I mean, there's only a few players because it's only people who own zoos, right? Or fight against them. But seeing that and trying to believe it, that's the draw of the show. That's why I think it's taken off. And it's also something really people want to... This is something really interesting to distract yourself with during a lockdown, know what I mean?
Yeah, for like, sure. Hashtag lockdown with the countdown.
That's right. I'm going to start using that.
Yeah, look, to be honest, I probably shouldn't say too much more about it. We clearly both like the show. I think the production value is quite high. It has an inordinate amount of fly on the wall, you're there footage, which really shocks me. There is recreations, but not that much of it. There are talking heads, but other than my one gripe, really, the whole show is, do we really need to have the name of everybody on screen every single time they come back? Especially,
may I say something about that? Absolutely is my answer. There are many times I've seen documentaries. The worst offender is this one about The Clash. I can't remember what the documentary is called, but it's got people on it.
Of the
and
Titans.
No one is named. No, just The Clash, the British rock band.
No, I know.
London Calling. Those motherfuckers, right?
I
anyway.
Was rolling. Right, the documentary was called Of the Titans.
I know. Yeah.
Quality comedy.
Speaking of which, anyway, the point is, like, I forget who is who, and so when someone refers to someone else and their name's not there, that the Clash documentary, no one had any names, so no one knew what the perspective.
Yeah, like, I get it, you need it more than once in a 7-episode show of 40 minutes each. But when we've cut away for one other person to talk and then cut back and their name's on again, I'm like, come on. People's Wayne's attention span is not that fucking small.
Well, I appreciate it. No, I mean, okay.
That's my one gripe with the show. But otherwise, it was very, very good. It was way better than I thought it was going to be. And I would thoroughly recommend, if you're on the fence about it, then you should actually check this one out.
Yes, it starts like a reality show, but then about halfway in, it gets just dark. It's weird.
It is dark, that's for sure. And I don't even know it's halfway in. I would say by the second episode, maybe it goes dark.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's just shady after a while. Yeah. So, very cool.
All right. Well, that's a hard recommend from the countdown. Let's get into the details of what does take place and when we were shocked on the other side of this spoiler warning. All right, then, you are warned. If you're here, you've seen Tiger King, or you really don't want to venture down that garden path. what shocked you, Wayne? Take a pick. Give me the thing that shocked you the most about this show.
Okay, so probably just in order, I'm sitting there going, okay, so Joe Exotic is this guy. Just seeing him and what he does and all that shit, that shocked the shit out of me. Then, because these other people are commenting on him, and these other people, like that guy, dude with the goatee and Doc. The gray hair... Doc, yeah. Because you're seeing them seemingly have authority by saying, Joe was this kind of guy, and Joe was that kind of guy. And then second episode, you see who that dude is, and it's like, holy shit, he's weirder. And then you see another person, and they're weirder. And what happens he's a freak, that dude, and he's totally, like, trying to start a cult of, like, a sex cult.
Oh, it's trying to. He succeeded. They had someone who got out of there in 2007.
And she gave the account of,
and she's
like,
saying, like, yeah, like, you're always free to leave, but where do you go? What can you do? You've got no money. You've got no friends. Everybody who is your friend is inside this. You feel trapped. And, yeah you do
and
advance
get 100
further.
Bucks a week or whatever.
That staggered me. That was
what is that?
What they were paying all these people, basically preying on their love of animals.
No, he's preying on the fact that they had nothing left. He would always pick drifters and stuff.
Well, that was Joe Exotic. No, Doc, though, he was picking hot young women. For the most part.
Yeah, how does he get to do that, though?
Look at him.
I know. Why is that compelling? It's not compelling.
Well, I think one guy, the really shady dude from wherever he was from, had the monkey climbing on him all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tim something. He said, you know, it takes pussy to get pussy or something like that.
What? Do you know, this is the thing. As you get in, as you become introduced to these characters in the flow of the series... It feels like because you're like, oh, I knew this guy all along. All of a sudden, there's a suspicion thrown on that guy, or this other girl, or you know what I mean? And you're like, holy crap, it's twisty and turny just because of the way it's put together. So it's clever.
You said Joe Exotic himself, but I think somehow we got down the road of Carol Baskin murders her husband. Or does she?
Dude, murder. Exactly. She's got to have murdered her husband.
And it's funny because, you know, butter wouldn't melt. Hi, cats and kittens. It's Carol
I know.
From Big Cat Rescue. Like, I don't know how to describe her. She's the most disarming person. And what she says seems very reasonable.
Because
the
she's
vast
saying, I
majority
want to save these cats,
the
so you have to like her. Yeah.
But then this sort of comes out, and her answers are dodgy as fuck.
Yeah.
Her, like, she's just like, oh, no, he said he was going down to Peru or wherever the fuck it was to move us all down there so that we can operate our big cat rescue in relative peace. And he just never comes back. Oh, well.
And you can... Exactly. And the investigating sheriff's office, her brother's one of them. It's like, what? This is bullshit. Yeah. Like, you can't draw whatever conclusions, but a story would not hold up anywhere else.
Doesn't seem to. And the guy, the cop that they keep coming back to about everything, he seems like... I'm sorry, maybe he's the most wonderful professional in the world, but he comes across like the most country yokel. That investigation's still open. I don't know. That investigation's still open. In our mind, there's no doubt that something like this took place, but that investigation's still open. Have you ever closed a fucking case in your life?
You think he'd feel some heat to actually get a result from that thing, as he knows if he's going to go on camera, it's like, this is a doco going to make me look like a dick.
Yeah, some of these people went on that show. I'm just thinking, how do you come across as... I'm stunned. Like, I would say, really, of all the people in this show, the only person that I really felt like came across as credible and believable in everything that he said was the campaign manager, Joe Hyde.
Yes, he seemed like a reasonable enough fella.
Yeah. And he hired him because he worked at Walmart. I'm like, what? How did he get to be
the
campaign manager of someone's effort to be the president and then governor if you manage a Walmart store?
I'm not sure how Oklahoma is based and stuff, but it seems like they're in quite a rural area, right?
Yeah.
So this is like country towns and stuff. Maybe that's, I don't know, man. I don't know how it works. But yeah, you don't usually go from Walmart to campaign manager.
No, but everything he said seemed to check out. So when he spoke, I tended to believe him. I also think the worker who had her arm bitten off, well, that was amazing.
Oh my God.
She seemed quite down
Imagine
to
going
earth
back to
and
work.
Quite reasonable in terms of what she was saying. Like, she
Especially
never stepped
considering.
Outside of her lane, so to speak. She just kept commenting from her perspective. Yeah, she was asked to to guess or speculate a couple of times, but when she did, she didn't go for the outlandish stuff that some of these other players were going for. I'm just like, okay.
I know. It's really hard to see, to notice, I don't know who to trust. Like, you're sitting there going, yeah, but everyone's a freak. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, just about everyone's a freak. So, I don't know. This is, like, I've seen better documentaries that were less compelling. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is put together in a way which is more than competent, for sure, but...
I think it's better than that. I think it's very cleverly edited together.
Yeah, you're right, you're right. I actually, I'm not giving... Because it reminds me of, like, Honey Boo Boo, but with, like...
I've never seen Honey Boo Boo, so...
Yeah, okay. It's that... I mean, I saw, like, a bit of it, but, like, it's that kind of... It leads you a bit. It's not objective documentary. It's just kind of, like, it sort of fools you and then
reveals. No, it does. As I was suggesting earlier, I don't think it's a straightforward, neutral documentary. It does seem to lean toward Joe's side rather than Carol's side. But
I would agree.
Which is evidence. Well, it's evidence apparently by the fact that there is evidence. There are people who have come forward to say the documentary doesn't show the worst of Joe. It's edited out footage they have of him where he is mistreating the animals. Right?
Really?
Which, why would you edit that out other than for distressing content, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, you'd edit it out because you know that paints Joe to be a worse off person than he is.
It's less compelling because you want... Exactly, yeah.
So that's one thing. The other thing, of course, is his country music career, which they speckle in.
Oh, God, can we talk about that for a second?
Turns out it's not him singing at all. And he knew it wasn't him singing live because the ratchet videography doesn't even sync it up perfectly with his mouth. But
I was sitting there going, I listened to the thing and I said, that's not him singing. There's
it
no
absolutely
way
is not. It's two other country and Western artists who were credited at the very end of the credits, but only in terms of like archive footage. They're not credited as saying music by. So that's a controversy about this show as well.
The fact that he cuts records and music videos about this shit and it's this like Garth Brooks kind of shit about fucking tigers and stuff, right? First of all, there's one song that I fucking can't get out of my head, right? It's the main one. I'm not going to sing it because I'll think about
it's
it forever.
Not Hunters, lay down your guns.
It's not that one. It's the one with the, you know, and the tiger show. Oh, man. That fucking one. I'm like, oh, shut the fuck up. So I got a real problem with that this week. But the fact that he does that is already so like, who cuts a fucking record about their shit? It's weird.
This guy clearly, yes, he's larger than life. And obviously, you know, he's gay, so what? But what struck me as odd is polygamous. How do you have two husbands? So Oklahoma, you're allowed to have multiple husbands? Does Oklahoma allow polygamy?
Our American listeners, can you dial... I mean, we could Google it right now, but I don't want to do that. I want you to tell us.
Well, yeah, it's not Salt Lake City. I know that... It's not Utah.
No, well, didn't Chandler go to Oklahoma in Friends and they're allowed in Oklahoma you're allowed to smoke in a boardroom?
How would I remember that shit?
That's what happened on Friends. And so I'm like, is Oklahoma unusual like that? Is that the Queensland of the States? No, I think Florida
is. With apologies to all our Queensland listeners.
We love Queensland listeners.
The ironic thing being that Queensland thinks the Wild West is West Australia and we think it's Queensland.
And they're probably right. We're probably both right. I went to Surfers Paradise and had a lovely weekend one time, just so you know.
The patrons will know I went to Queensland and had some of the weirdest experiences of my life.
Paul, see, so that's why Paul thinks it. So I'm just saying.
The other part, of course, the most shocking thing for me, which is where I was sort of leading to with this discussion, was when husband number two kills himself.
Dude! That's on
literal
it's
shot.
It's off camera, but it's on camera.
Yeah, it's focused on the campaign manager and there's that flash of light. We both sat there, my fiance and I, jaw agape, and I rewound. I'm like, did that, what we just think happened?
I know.
Holy shit.
That was insane, dude.
Travis, I think his name was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's why the whole thing is, you know what? The show is even, the reason I think it's a little bit manipulative, and it's fine because it's all about that, because it's all about how watchable it is. But the producer, the guy with the hat that's always talking all the way through the thing.
Yeah, Kirkman or whatever his name was. Yep.
Kirkman, yeah. At one stage, they just throw this little thing in there where it's like Kirkman was in trouble and he had to, you know, he basically suggesting he was the guy who
committed it opens, the arson. It throws all the possibilities out there. Joe did it. He did it himself. Carol did it.
Yeah.
Peter did it. So.
Yeah. By the way, Joe totally did it.
Sorry?
Joe totally did
it. I think Joe did it too. Yeah.
Joe totally did that shit, man.
And also,
yeah,
as we agree, I think we all think Carol, if she didn't kill her husband, she certainly had a hand in it, or she wasn't against it. Let's put it that way. She knew it was coming.
I don't know. She handled that shit.
So,
tell you right now.
It's quite terrifying, really, to think.
No, it is. And also, He's a millionaire. He should have put it in trust or some shit. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Well, even the way that their story of how they met was dodgy AF. You know, he's just driving along, gets her in the car. They spend the night together. And then next thing you know, he's leaving his wife and his kids for, you know, and she's 20 years his junior, whatever else. And I get it. You know, you're super rich and regardless of you're a man or a woman, you're looking for more.
But leaving your wife and kids but for that's, this, that's like, the cunty part, that you just picked up. It's not kind of just stupid. It's like, I thought if you were smart enough to be a millionaire, you'd be smart enough not to be fucked over like this. But anyway.
So no one comes across as particularly likable. This guy swings in late who is supposedly going to be Joe's savior.
The Jeff guy, he is the dodgiest, most... If I'm looking at his face, I'm like, you are fucked.
Do you know why?
Something about you is fucked.
It took me
why?
A long time to realize what it was. About.
Is it the bandana?
It's not just the bandana under the hat. It's the fact he's got almost no eyebrows.
Is that what it is? Because he looks like... I'm like, this dude is fucked. It's like genetically... I don't know. I can tell you you're genetically evil. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, I think I really think it's the lack of eyebrows.
Oh, yeah, he's a weird looking guy for sure. But the fact that he wears a bandana under a trucker's cap, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you are. I don't know what you are.
Yep.
Who even thought of that?
And, you know, again, got a much younger wife who is more than happy. The bit that made me absolutely piss myself laughing is when they were about to have the baby. And then he shows pictures up on the screen of the candidates they're considering to be a nanny.
Nanny, yeah.
And, well, if you're going to have one around, it might as well be good to look at.
Exactly. And she's like, ha. I'm like, oh my God,
her input is,
can we
try and make the nanny bilingual? Because then the baby can grow up speaking.
I know. And that's what it is. You're sitting there shaking your head over and over at how fucked up these people are. So, and it's an entertaining. Yep. It's entertaining. You won't forget it.
We're
talking about it now.
Well, obviously we are. Heaps of people are watching it. Heaps of people are keen to hear about this show. I'm sure there are multiple podcasts out there about it. Here's just our small take. There's more coming. Today, news broke. There's another episode potentially going to be released next week to update on it because on where it's at. And apparently Joe Exotic is claiming from his prison he has coronavirus.
What the fuck? So, see, I was thinking that because it said Tiger King season one. I said, dude, there's no season two.
Well, it goes all the way up to December 2019 when Doc's compound or exactly. got raided, it says in the little infographic at the end. So
nothing's really happened. So all they could do is, so they're doing another episode because it doesn't really end. You can tell the story has more to go, but that's up to date now. So really, so there's going to be another.
So
yeah,
that's
right.
What
they would be mad.
Netflix haven't confirmed that, but that Jeff guy said it was. And then I read another article saying someone at Netflix has confirmed it, but not officially. So maybe that will be dropping.
That's going to kill. That's going to be like season two of Game of Thrones premiere.
Could be no, just not, with not how really, you know really. How caught up everyone is with this. All right, then Wayne, let's give it a score and wrap it up with our final thoughts. What are you going to say to listeners about Tiger King?
Okay, I'm disgusted that I like this show. I'm disgusted in myself and humanity, and I'm not proud of the fact that I'm giving this a fucking 78.
I stand resolute, motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 80. So there
yeah,
we are.
Man,
right,
it's
right,
fucking good.
Step.
I can't. It's there to entertain, and it fucking
it
delivers.
Did entertain.
So what are you going to do?
I thought maybe I'd get through 3 episodes, but we powered through it. Like,
man, I did 5 episodes one night, 2 the next night.
No, wow, you
boom.
Watched it even quicker than we did then. So
I can't believe
it. It is compelling TV. It is entertaining. It is trash TV, but it's very, very good at what it's doing. Check out Tiger King and let us know what you thought. And you can do so via email, thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc, or you can head over to the Facebook listener community. Link is in the show notes. And we host our show through podbean.com, where we can get episodes all the way back to episode 40, if that's what you're interested in checking out during this lockdown time. Thank you so much for joining us again today. My name is Paul.
Oh, my name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard. Let's find a nice one here. Here it is in absolute full-blown perfectness.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
There we go. Okay. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
Tell all the hunters. Lay down their guns. Tell them that the tiger needs a little bit of love. Let them run the jungle. Let them roam their land. Then stand back and marvel. What a beautiful cat. 'Cause I saw a tiger.